carro de estranho preto, não. Ele não acompanha desse jeito. He waits over the first king in the 21st chapter. We preached, no doubt, from this scripture before, but it seems like the Lord kept bringing some thoughts to us out of it. And seem like in all the thoughts he's brought us and all the studying I've done, I still don't know what we'll preach tonight. I'll be totally honest with you. I've just had some thoughts in it, and I know this is the way the Lord would have us to go. But totally just going to trust him tonight. And, like I say, he's allowed us to ponder and meditate on a few things in it. But we're totally standing tonight in faith, believing that he'll guide the way this should go. But we'll read there, and we may just read this whole chapter, and I know that might be seem a little lengthy to you. I don't know, but it's 29 verses. But we'll read this chapter here, and then we'll just try to follow the Lord as he leads. But in the 1 Kings, in the 21st chapter, the Bible says, "And it come to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said unto Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give thee the inheritance of my fathers, that I should give thee the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake to Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, Dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him, to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king. And then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders of and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones, and he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, "Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead." And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab arose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise and go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said unto Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ajar. For the provocation wherein thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols according to all things, as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his head and fasted and laid in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. And like I say, I know that's a whole lot of reading, but I've had just a few thoughts in this. I felt like I needed to read the whole chapter in it. And as we got to thinking about these things a little bit, and thinking about Ahab and Naboth and Jezebel and the vineyard and these type things in that, as we got to thinking a little bit and about how that Naboth had acquired this piece of ground, and Naboth had something that was of an inheritance to him, that it came from no doubt descendants before, and it had been passed down through, and it was something that had came into his possession by way of inheritance. And he did not want to give this up, and he said, according to what the Lord had in his life, there was no way that he could give this up. And how that he told these things, but we know how that this place was set near where Ahab lived. And if you study just a little bit on Jezreel right there, and you look at this place, this is a place of, it's a very fertile place, and it's a place that that many things grow in that area. And I thought about through that how that Ahab looked out, and he was looking over a place that there was probably many possibilities of where he could have done exactly what he was wanting to do, but there was a particular reason that he picked Naboth's vineyard. The Bible said it was near unto his palace. It was near to him, and he looked out there, Mark, no doubt, many a time, and he'd seen the work that went into this, and he saw the vineyard,
And no doubt how fruitful it was, and the much work and the many years that it had grown to be what it was in that time that it was. There, he'd seen this place, and I thought, and I'll try to take my time a little bit here, but I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I thought about that, and I thought, and I've told you before, I'm not a good husbandman myself of the natural fruits and those things, but I have studied a little bit on grapes and how to grow them and how to prune, and I'm no good at it. I've never done anything that has ever come to any kind of an accomplishment in that. But there's a whole lot of pruning goes on in there. It starts out where it looks like you've got nothing there. And you trim that vine down to where it just looks like you've just about ruined it. But it takes a long time to get that to where it grows and it becomes fruitful. And I thought about all the effort that had been put into that vineyard. And Naboth looked and he saw all the fruit. But he didn't see all the work that had went into that place. And I thought as he saw those things, Naboth, he wanted that. He didn't want it for the vineyard. He didn't want it for the fruits of the vine, for all the things that had been worked for, all the time that had been sacrificed in that. Naboth was wanting the ground. Naboth was, he wasn't wanting the vine, he was wanting the ground. Bear with me just a little bit. He was wanting to grow herbs in this place. That was a fruitful place for vines. Was a fruitful place for things that could be a help and a medicine and something that could give strength to people. And I thought about how the Word of God likens Jesus Christ unto the vine, and we're the branches. And how that this world looks at the church now, and they want what the church has got. They want the fruitfulness, they want the peace, they want the happiness, they want the joy that a child of God's down in their life. But they don't want the vine. They just want the ground. Man wants to please his flesh. And you get to studying this out a little bit, and you get to looking into what herbs is, and you get to looking at that. And most of the time, what herbs is only used for is for their flavor and what they can add to something and to make it taste a little bit better and to make the fragrance smell better. But there's no sustenance. And what this man want today, they want something that'll make things taste a little bit better, smell a little bit better, and they want to doctor up the Word. They want to doctor up the house of God. They want to make it look like they want it to look. They want to take something. Now, do you realize what Ahab had done right here? He looked at what Naboth said, and he said, "I'll pay you for it, or I'll give you one just as good." Now, if it had something that was just as good, why didn't he use it? What does the devil do? He comes around and he goes to tempt him and he goes to tell him, "I'll give you something just as good or better than what you got." Well, if the devil had something just as good or better, why would he be offering it to you? Because he knows what you got is the best. Naboth knew. Ahab knew what Naboth had was the best. And he wanted what he had. But you know what he would not be able to do? He would not be able to possess what Naboth had. You can go back and trace all the way through where the children of Israel got into Canaan. And they gained those things because God gave it to them. There was a lineage that you go back and you could probably trace out in Naboth's family to where that they had possessed this because they came in and they had gained it because God gave it to them. There's some things only God can give and the world can't possess it. They can't find the peace you've got, Isaac. They can't find the happiness we've got, church, in the ways they're trying to get it. Man wants to come in, he wants to destroy, he wants to steal, and he wants to change the church.
Just bear with me just a little bit.
Naboth didn't want the fruit. Ahab did not want the fruit that was being produced in Naboth's vineyard. He just wanted the ground that was there. You want to know what this world's wanting to do today? It's wanting to come in. It's wanting to possess the church of the living God. It's wanting to do away with the fruit of the vine that's beneficial, and it's wanting to play herbs.
Something to taste all right, something to smell all right, but there ain't nothing there that's good for you.
You want me to tell you what? The world, it just seems to kill you down to get what you got. Hope this is well. I'll get you there tonight.
You know what old man's flesh will do?
It'll tell you you can have what you can have. That makes sense?
Your old carnal mind will tell you you can have what you can't have.
It'll lie to you. You know what this man is? When you get caught, I'll give you what you want.
Naboth couldn't possess this because he was not.
He believed he could have it.
He couldn't have.
Ahab could not have what Naboth had. I get them good names walking around there, you just look over it. I'm trying. They similar when they come out of my mouth, but there's nothing alive inside of God. Church, be proud of your parents. Be proud of your parents. That God has saved in your life. That fertile ground that God gave you. You be happy today. And when the devil comes through and he wants to buy a piece of that ground, he wants to take what God has blessed and multiply it and make fruitful in your life, you tell him no. I tell you what, Naboth may have went down there and had possession of that place, but he never owned it. You know what that's called right up to the end? Naboth's vineyard.
Even when Ahab went down there to try to take it, when God sent Elijah down there, he said, you'll find him in Naboth's vineyard.
There's one thing the devil and the world can't have, and that's what God gave me. They might destroy this old body, this man you look at, but they'll never have what God gave me down on the inside.
You think about that. You look up what an inheritance is. That's the estate or possessing which may descend to an heir. What's an heir? One who is entitled to possess. The world can't have what we got.
I don't care how they try to give it. Unless they come through the blood of Jesus Christ, they're not entitled to possess this. The hope of salvation, the promise of an eternal life, cannot be gained by man's money, by man's threats, by man coming in and trying to take it by force.
There's only one way to get this, and it's by getting in the way.
Naboth was not entitled, but Ahab was not entitled to have that possession. But Naboth was.
Because he had the lineage
that went along with what that piece of ground was promised him.
Just pray the Lord help me. For just a minute.
I want you to understand
The peace that you're looking at ain't nothing no more than they have. This old carnal man that you're looking at is nothing no more than they have.
And by all rights, I shouldn't have possession of what I got. But there's one that was an heir to heaven. There's one that is entitled to the glories of God. There's one who is the vine. There's one who is the vineyard. And I did not gain this because I deserved it. I did not get this by telling God, "You bless me or else."
But He offered me a way to have part of the vineyard.
He didn't tell me I could have to come in here and change it around either. He didn't say you can go in there and cut down the vine and plant your own herbs and change this around. And I'll tell you, that's going on around in places today that's calling themselves churches. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm not trying to be mean. But if it ain't the book, it ain't the book. There's a lot today trying to get rid of Jesus. And they're trying to plant herbs in the garden. Hey, but I'm going to tell you what. They may think they're taking possession of what God owns. But they're not.
There's only one true vine. There's only one vineyard. And the world wants it. But they ain't willing to go the way that it takes to do. Jesus Christ himself in Matthew, Mark, and Luke tells us some husbands that was put in charge of the vineyard. And the owner of the vineyard sent his servants by, and they mistreated him. They beat them, they killed some. You realize that the Lord has laid out a vineyard for this world, and He's put us here in it? As husbandmen, to take care of this. And they've sung as the prophets just came through. They've ridiculed them. They've murdered them. They've beat them. Do you know what the master of that? This is a parable Christ himself put out there. That owner of that vineyard said, "Well, I'll send my son. I'll send my son down there to the vineyard." He said, "Sure, they'll hear him." But he sent his own son. And you know what their thought was, Tommy Dale? If we kill the son, we can gain the inheritance. We can gain possession of this by our own means. You know what the Pharisees and the Jews thought that they'd get through? By their works. By the law. By their way. By their own little garden of herbs. And they thought when Christ Jesus came and claimed possession as being the vine, they thought, "We'll kill him. And we'll take it ourselves." No different from them, but no different than they have. But I promise you this. You can kill this vine. You might try to cut this vine down, and they did. You may try to get rid of it. You may try to plant your own little garden of herbs. But I'm going to tell you what the word of the Lord found Ahab down there in Naboth's vineyard. And the word of the Lord will find this world down here in the vineyard of God. The word of the Lord will find you wherever you are at. You might think you've come down here and took possession of something. You think you've killed some things. I'll just be blunt with you. There's a whole lot of people that love to see this church die. Amen. There's a whole lot of people. I ain't being mean, and I ain't important things. I hope you understand. But hey, some people would love nothing no more than to hear that the church fell apart because they left. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, this is
not our church. This is the church of the living God.
I ain't been one of them standing in the church.
Naboth wanted to go down there and destroy that vineyard. And he thought he killed, or Ahab wanted to go down there and destroy that vineyard. He thought, I killed Naboth. It's mine now. He wanted to see the vines pour out. He wanted to see herbs planted. This world wants to get rid of the book and the truth, and it wants to put what it wants in the house of God. But I'm going to tell you what, you put what you want in here in the house of God. You start changing your doctrines around and you start conforming to this world. Hey, and you ain't Jesus. You ain't the church of Jesus Christ no more.
You're going to give all the word of God to what you are. He's never one of them got further than they bought from you.
Not according to what I've read and seen.
And I don't believe they will.
His vineyard.
He was just watching over that for a little while. That was his inheritance in glory for a little while. And then he was trying something else. Because God had a lineage and inheritance that was to enjoy over time. This ain't my way, church. This ain't your way. This is God's way. They might think he destroys it. They might think he does away with it. You can hug my name down off of this community. You can destroy my name. We can take your name, Mark, and we can run it through the mud of this community and I can destroy your name. I can kill you in this community. I can kill your testimony. I can kill your work. As far as some people goes. But to be here, to stay the same. They couldn't lay off the life. They couldn't destroy the vineyard. He's the vine, we're just the branches. And it's no favorite brother for that man you can do nothing to it. It's for him, it's not for man.
It's for his glory, not man's. This ought to be our prayer, the 16th chapter of the book of Psalms. We live in a trying time, church.
We're speaking up in the prayer room, we're talking about a lot of things back there. We live in an hour
when the church is fighting the church as hard as the world's fighting the church.
Our own people, because of disagreements
and things of that nature, and people we don't like. The people we don't like what they say, we're fighting against the church instead of standing for the Lord.
You know what? The devil stands back and he just loves that.
The world wants to destroy God's vineyard. They join in that. They glory in that. But listen to this. The Lord told him, he said, well, even in the beginning over there, he said, to be fruitful, Larry, and multiply. You know what the Lord wants us to be? Fruitful. You know what? On Pentecost, when the church was in one mind, one accord, seeking the will of God, what happened? Fruit. The church was added to daily. But as you follow the church, after the established church at Pentecost, after you follow this, you start finding little ideas, little thoughts, little disagreements, and you know what started dwindling down?
The church didn't have to do it because man's thoughts, man's beliefs, and the unwillingness to follow the Spirit of God as it moved upon them what had taken away from the church.
Being added to because of disagreement, dissension. But I want you to listen to this chapter here in Psalms, the 16th. David wrote, "Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to Thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offering of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup Thou maintainest my lot." Listen. "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season." Now I want you understanding that right there. When you go through your darkest place, there's something will guide you. God's got reins on you. He will guide you the way you need to go if you trust in Him. If you don't turn from Him.
Naboth was not willing to give up what God gave him.
He couldn't. By the order of God, he could not give up what he had. And you want me to tell you this? He wasn't willing to give it up. He didn't want to give it up. There was nothing like his vision. There was nothing like the possession. Because what did David say? It's a goodly heritage. This that we've got, you, like I say, you look up heritage, that just means that which is inherited. You know what the Lord tells us over in Romans? He says we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We've got a goodly heritage. We have a possession that we didn't earn. Why do you think that place was so special under Naboth? He saw the work that went into it years before he ever gained his inheritance from it. He saw the seed that had to grow to make the vines that he could eat from. Church, if we'd ever get to looking back through our heritage, if we'd get to seeing where did we come from, this vine that we eat from, the fruits that we enjoy, this was from before the foundation of the world. It's a godly heritage. I'll say this, it's a godly heritage.
You're not enjoying the fruits of your labor. You're enjoying the fruits of His. We get to eat the good fruits of His blessings with it. From His labor. Naboth, he just inherited that place. It didn't come from his hard work. Of course, he worked it. But he enjoyed what was already been laid before him.
That's what me and you's doing, church. Listen, he said, "I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because He is my right hand. He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved." That's where the church needs to be today. Did Naboth get scared and say, "Okay, Ahab, just give me whatever"?
Did he give it up? Did he say, "I'm scared"? Even when the false witnesses come against him, did he give up and say, "No, just take it, just take it"?
behind you. I don't care how bad they try to scare you. You can't give up what you got.
If you like me, I don't want to.
It's the good. The good about you.
He did. He did die for it. He died for me and you.
That we can have a heritage.
That which is inherited is what heritage is. Now listen. The estate or possession which may descend to an heir. Do you realize what me and you are
going to inherit from heaven?
Do you realize what was coming our way, Savannah Rice, from Adam? Death.
Hell. Do you know what? This is going to love you now. He gave me a vision. He gave me a possession. Something that I could inherit that would descend to me. Maybe over here, but you believe about an adoption. It is. That's not one pain that I've gained from him.
That was from my goodness, from my worth.
But that wasn't the common duty. But my wife's natural daddy did want her. At about 3 months old, he left. And there's a man come into her life about 4 years old that said, I'll take her. And he searched down that other man and he got him to sign over every right, say was, to her. And he said, I'll be your daddy. I'll raise you and I'll take care of you and I'll love you. He did right up to the day he died. You know how special that man was to her? Somebody didn't want her. Just somebody come in and didn't even have to. He loved her enough to raise her, to feed her, to comfort her, to put a roof over her head. Do you realize what our inheritance was? And they wouldn't love me enough, Mark Carter. He didn't have to, but he loved me enough that he come in and he said, I want him. I'm willing to take him. And make him mine and give him a possession, an inheritance. When before I didn't have nothing that was worth even speaking of. That was what was coming to me.
What is an heir? One who is entitled to possess something or having claim on it. I was an heir to something that I was entitled to. Hell.
That's what I was entitled to. That's what I deserved. And I had one come in and said, I'm a true vine. I'm going to graft you in. I won't let you be part of the kingdom of God. Not because you're worthy. Not because you're good enough. But because I love you.
A goodly heritage, ain't it? We talked about Lazarus and the rich man Sunday school this morning, didn't we, Josh?
Old Lazarus didn't have much, did he? There's a lot today looks like the cross. A lot of people would look today, you have probably had it made. He had all he wanted. He could go out and take what he wanted if he didn't have it. Do you know what that man didn't have nothing? He'd have been so happy up there in his palace. Why was he wanting Naboth's vineyard? Hey, if the world's got it made so good, why do they want what you got, Daryl? Why do they want to take it from you by force when they can have it freely?
If they've got it made so good,
they can have it. They just got to come do it the same way me and you did.
It's a goodly hurt. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Listen, thou wilt show me the path of life in the presence. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
He didn't leave my soul, man. You know what my heritage was? Hell. Do you know where my soul was destined for? Because the sin of man, it was destined for a devil's hell. But because he loved me, he didn't leave me there.
He gave me a goodly heritage. What did he do? He brought me up out of a horrible pit in the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a solid rock. And he established my going. And guess what? I shall not be moved.
My feet are stuck. Hey, these feet are planted in the path of life. I can't get out of it. I'm anchored in the rock.
This is the blood of Jim, or the Sandy Rice, Amber Rice, and J.W. Rice that's flowing through these natural veins.
That that you see walking before you is rice and rains mixture. That's what I am. I can't deny that. But I want you to understand what's flowing down on the inside of my soul. Sure, it's the blood of the precious Lamb of God.
I can't tell you who I am naturally. It is flesh and blood that comes through it. And when I got saved, I can't tell you who I am. You know how David can say, I shall not be moved? Comes in his anger. When I say the government, David has faith to believe in the coming of the Son of God. And he heard and seen Christ of himself one day.
And he himself would believe the same thing just like me. For he can never be done with him.
There's a lot today like the way plenty. Anything in this old world don't really matter. God, my God. You know what my name is. I don't care how many of those governments. They want what I got. Maybe they got that. They have it. They can have mine. They got to get theirs. They was not a tribe that didn't have a plot in Canaan. They's not a person that ain't got a place in heaven.
Well, I don't believe that. You believe there's an animal that has a place on the ark? No. I believe there's a place for everybody. And I believe you can bring it over. And you can do that.
And you cannot receive it.
He said, he is not willing that he should pass the divine. You need a call to your children.
I think everybody's got a call. Ever I had in the world. They take my life, I'm just moving on home. They ain't stole nothing from me.
My heritage is not even that.
What I'm anchored in is not of this.
And I can end up with a good God. All these things that you're seeing are going to perish.
They're going away. I find it, I might just break it. Over in Hebrews. I may just read, just bear with me. First chapter. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flaming fire? But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever.
A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. Now listen, they shall perish. You just interested in the ground, or do you want the vine? They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Amen.
I'm thankful for the Bible. He came down into a piece of ground for just a little while to give me the chance at enjoying the vineyard. This earth, man, is passing away.
He said, they shall perish, but thou remainest.
If you just act for the pleasures of this world and the natural things of this life, and you just soon have an earth garden, it's going to perish. And I'm thankful for the true Bible.
I'm thankful for a goodly heritage.
I'm thankful for an image. It's good, Jake. We've got something to rejoice in.
We can look around and see the terribleness. See, Ahab was one of the most wicked rulers that's ever been. Followed after every ungodly idol and everything he was, had a wicked wife. This ruled the country wickedly. Do you know what Naboth had?
And you know what he found, Joel? Probably every time he walked outside of his building. And this is what I was hoping you could say. Probably every time he walked outside of his building, he saw the wickedness. He saw the turmoil. But when he walked inside of him, he saw his heritage. He saw the beautiful vines. He saw the fruitfulness. He saw the wonder of God's hand. That's a whole lot of times.
I have to walk through this world. I get so sick of what I see.
I get so tired of what people have to go through. And I get weary. And I get tired. It feels good when I get to come in and I get to walk through it. And I get things to get to work. I get to see my heritage. And I see that it's not rooted in the ground, it's going to perish. You read on over in Romans in the 8th chapter, it talks about hope that's seen is not hope. You're just looking for the good fertile ground in this world, and you ain't seeing the vine. You're missing it. You're missing it. The salvation that you can inherit, it's in the vine. It's not in the ground. It's in the vine.
It's in the fruit of the vine.
It's a good marriage. I hope the Lord's allowed to see
you to see what He's allowed me to see in this.
My feeble efforts trying to bring it. I hope I've not failed you in any way. I hope the Spirit has revealed through this old word.
That's all. The beauty that's in our heritage. In what we've got.
In what we've got.
The hope through Jesus Christ. I love you, sir.